Twin Cities Orthopedics is proud to be the official sports medicine provider for Tommy Athletics. TCO is trusted by some of the biggest names in sports, and they bring that same level of care to our athletes. Thank you, TCO, for being a part of our team. Visit TCOMN.com to learn more. Hello and welcome to Tommy Talks, the weekly podcast bringing you inside St. Thomas Athletics, where we'll get to know those who wear the purple and gray. I'm Corbu Status, and this week our guest is CJ Warren, a grad student defensive lineman from the football team. We talk about his last-minute switch from St. John's to St. Thomas and overcoming 3 years of injuries to become an all-conference player. We also talk about being the arbitrator for his brothers, the married life, snowboarding, and much more. Now, here's our conversation with CJ Warren on another edition of Tommy Talks. CJ, welcome into the podcast. Really happy to have you. And people are like, well, it's spring. It's football. Why are we talking football? Because it's spring football. And everybody's favorite time of year. The weather's getting nice, and you get to go out and do some thumping. Tell us why you chose St. Thomas, because you came back when there was still Division III. If you can remember it all the way back then, tell us why you chose St. Thomas.
Yeah, so St. Thomas was on my radar after I made the decision that I don't want to pursue Division I or Division II. As an athlete, I was really just an athlete. I wasn't a good football player, I would say. I mean, I had film, did some camps in my junior year, and a lot of the Division I schools were like, well, your football kind of is not amazing, but you can run fast, you move quickly, you have a good frame, we can work with that. And so a lot of the Division I offers, more like preferred walk-ons, were like, hey, if you can turn into something, we can see something, but we don't see anything in you right now. And so I was like, you know what? That's not for me. I played football to have fun, enjoy like spending time with people. And so then I cut that totally out. And then that led me to a couple of options. So Division II was knocked out before that. I didn't want to do Division II. Yeah. It just didn't seem right for me. So I had Tommy and Johnny's. And so I spent some time, did an overnight up at St. John's and did overnight over here and making the decision. Honestly, I was like, I'm going to do St. John's. I like it a lot better. Kind of had a family feel to it. Like the coaches, like you could interact with a lot easier. They were your friends. And so at that time, that's what I liked. And so I ended up my last time here, I don't know if it was a junior day or some sort of official visit. I was like, you know what? I think it's going to be St. John's. And then the last thing you do is you talk to Coach Caruso before you go out the door. And that conversation I had with him and my ma changed where I wanted to go, essentially. So for why I'm here is honestly because of that conversation I had with him. I don't know how long we spent in there, but I told him to his face, like, he asked me, like, where do you want to go? Like, what we want to help you get where you want to go in the end. Whether it's here or not. And I'm like, well, honestly, I'm thinking about choosing St. John's. Like, that's where I want to go. Yeah. And then that brought something. I was like, well, if it's St. John's, then let's talk a little more. And so that was a great conversation. Ended up leaving, like, wow, you know, this has got to be the place for me. So I also love Coach Kaczynski.
Yes.
And that was who was recruiting me at the time. And so I'm like, you know what? It's in town, which is really nice. I only live about 20 minutes north of here, or at that time I was.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know what? Let's do it. As well as their engineering program here. I really loved when I did the walk around. Mainly the metal and wood shop really attracted me.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? St. Thomas is the place. And that's what I'm deciding with. So.
Yeah, and then you ended up being a Division I athlete anyway.
Yeah, that was not planned at all.
Well, it was a circuitous route to get there, right? So your first year is the Division III level.
Yep.
And then I guess the good news is the COVID happened and you were hurt anyway, right?
Yep.
So you weren't
going
to play football.
Yeah.
But then you get hurt again.
Yeah.
So that's two consecutive years. What's your where are you mentally at that point?
Yep. So the first injury happened before I actually got here. It was the summer of my freshman year.
Okay.
And so I wasn't able to come to fall camp. But then once fall camp ended, the school starts came in. And so I was considered a school start then.
Yeah.
And so I got the opportunity to be with the team fully. I got to know Jim really, really well.
Yeah.
Spent a lot of time with Jim and Stu. They both helped me greatly through
the athletic trainers.
Rehab. Yep, the athletic trainers. But it was hard. So my first year fully out, the next summer, I ended up tearing my meniscus in my other knee. And the other, my first injury was an ACL meniscus and an LCL injury. Oof. The other one was just the meniscus. But it was a little draining. You also don't realize how much you miss football when it's gone.
Yeah.
And so being a part of the team is great, but not being on the field, running around, having fun, hitting people, it definitely started to miss it quite a bit. And so that kind of fueled me during that time. So the first time I actually ever got to play college football was my sophomore year in the spring. And the first practice, I ended up pulling my hamstring. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
Like, at this point, we knew we were going Division I.
Right.
And there's a lot of cuts that had to happen. And I'm like, are you kidding me? What am I doing? Like, this is ridiculous.
Right.
I still want to play football, but I don't want to leave the school. So if I got cut, I would have had to stay at the school because I love the engineering program.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, you know what? I tried to get back too early, and then I pulled it again. And so I had this 4 weeks of, like, you know what? Like, do I just, like, quit now, let other people do it? And so during that time, I made the decision, you know, why did I come and why did I play football? What was the purpose behind it? And so really I went back to my roots of, like, I chose St. Thomas not because it was Division I at the moment. Like, it was Division III. I just wanted to have fun, be with people.
Yeah.
And I found during the whole time I was here, I didn't really enjoy it. Even though my drive was to continue to play football, I didn't enjoy playing football because I wasn't playing football.
Right.
And so during that time I was hurt. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go back to why I played football or why everything. And so I'm like, I'm just going to have fun. And then the last 4 weeks, it is what it is. If I get cut, great. If I don't, at least I had fun for the last month or so I had a football.
Right.
And in general, I didn't get cut. And I had fun the last 4 weeks playing football. Ended up recovering from the hamstring, no more pulls. And that went on to my junior season. I ended up being, I think, a 2 going out of there. And so a lot better than I thought. And then I ended up dropping a little bit in fall camp. And during that time, I'm like, I don't care where my position is. I'm here just to have fun.
You're hitting people it's back to normal.
Exactly. Yeah. So that was really relieving my junior year, which was the first year of Division I. And I was just having fun hitting people and playing football, actually,
right.
And getting to know the guys more. Because there's a little bit of a separation when you're hurt on a team, especially going into new school. You're hurt, so you don't have that, like, connection of working out and all this stuff. I was pretty separated, especially during COVID. I was actually – we did different pods, and I actually had to be in my separate pod about, like, 36 feet away from, the D-line group. So there was a big separation.
Yeah.
It was nice to be back my junior year. So
yeah, and really get in there.
Exactly.
Yeah. Then that first game for you was Michigan Tech, right?
Yeah.
On the road,
yeah.
Way up there. You're standing on the sidelines. What is the feeling then, knowing that you're actually going to be out there for the first time in 3 years?
Yeah. Well, the bummer is I didn't make it on the trip.
No, you didn't go on that trip. I didn't mean to pour salt in that wound, CJ.
So that was a little bit of what I was saying was, you know, that fall camp, my first fall camp, did not go well.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't go bad, but people below me did better, and that's what it was.
Yeah.
And so the first game, the second game, and maybe the third game, I was just on scout team, and it was hard to be like, wow, I'm not on the traveling roster. I mean, I was 2 and then dropped, but I'm like, that's all behind me. Like, I'm just here to have fun. Like,
yeah.
I'm going to be the best I can on scout team. I'm going to be the best at this because that's what I enjoy doing. And it's scout team, it is hard, but it is a ton of fun. I mean – when I was doing, we're hooting and hollering. I mean, you're trying to beat the ones up, and it's just, you can try to make the most of it. I mean, it's just, if you just go in there, just going through the tasks of being a scout, it's not fun. But if you're trying to make fun, start yelling and a little bit of trash talking here and there, and it ends up turning into a lot of fun.
There is a little bit of trash talking between the defense and offense. Even in spring ball, I was out at the practice on Saturday. There's some hooting.
Exactly.
So which one, what was your first game? Do you remember?
My first game, I think it was Marist.
Yeah.
Was the first time I got in. I think it was just trash time. It didn't necessarily matter.
Yeah.
I think my first play, I got a roughing the passer, and Coach Crucial was just yelling at me, and I'm like, oh, geez, like, this was my first play, but now it's stuck in my head that was one of my first plays.
Yeah.
But the season ended up going pretty well for me in the end. I still ended up back at that kind of 2 spot.
Right.
So it worked its way out.
Okay, so you go from that, right, where you haven't played for 3 years and you're hoping, you're just trying to get out of the squad, out of the scout team, onto the depth chart and the ones or twos, to being a second team all-conference player last year.
Yep, yep.
What was the biggest difference for you between your junior year and your senior year?
So really it was how much did I – so having it being fun and enjoyable was the first step to me kind of getting back to being a good athlete. Mm-hmm. And it's like, where do I want to take this from now? Now I have this like platform as a Division I athlete that I could possibly take somewhere. And there's, I felt like I had potential. I don't know if any of the coaches really speaking into that or not. They probably were. They're great coaches.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you know what? I feel like I can make something from what I did this year. I got more years. I have possibly, if I want to take a sixth year, I can, which is what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
And so from that point, I just started, working, honestly, working on the field, working on my technique, hitting the weight room a lot. I really enjoy, some people don't enjoy the process. I really enjoy the process. I really enjoy working out. Probably the worst thing I do is probably my eating. that's the hardest thing. It's no matter what. Yeah. Eating right and eating good is really hard.
Really hard.
But working hard, doing sprints and doing that is not, it is hard, but it's not, it's enjoyable to me.
Yeah.
So that definitely fed into becoming that second team all conference. As well as we had a little coach change with the D-line group. Coach Gravel was the coach before. He was still a great coach. I really like him. But now we got Coach Kabaki, and he spoke kind of the same language a lot better, for me at least.
Yeah.
And so he's been definitely a huge help as far as the skill-wise becoming a better athlete.
Yeah.
And getting that the stats needed for that second team all-conference. So me, the coaches, and yeah.
Yeah, so being a defensive lineman is not a glorious thing, right? Because the stats aren't going to come necessarily. You're just there to eat up blocks, essentially.
Yeah,
right? But what kind of humility does it take to be a defensive lineman?
You know, it takes a lot. But watching back on the film and stuff, you're like, wow, you know, how did this happen? How did the linebacker make this hit in the end? How did they make this TFL? How did they make the sack? And it's like, well, the D-line was in this position, which allowed them to do it. So there's some gratification in there.
Right.
But, I mean, in the end, I mean, with the coaching change, Coach Kabaki is great at, yes, we have a role, but we also are playmakers ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so he really dove into that, like, hey, we're not here just to eat up the blocks. We can do more than just eat up blocks. We do our responsibility, and let's get to the ball and do something.
Yeah.
And so that mentality that he's instilled in us a little bit over the year has really helped our D-line grow into something that St. Thomas, I don't think, has seen, and hopefully continues to grow.
Yeah.
I mean, first year here, he kind of set a culture in the D-line, and now hopefully this year, this offseason, me and a couple of older guys are really trying to take that and not just – have it be the coach doing it, but us doing it to the players, and so us doing it to the younger guys. And so staying or implementing that culture through athlete to athlete is going to be so much better than coach to athlete. Yeah. And that really what makes a really great team is when athletes start being accountable for other athletes. So
100%. 100%. When did you start in football? Was it from youth, and what other sports did you play growing up?
Yeah, so I started, my first year of football was in fourth grade. My mom didn't want me to play tackle football, and so I was touch football.
Mm-hmm.
Had a lot of fun there. Ended up doing tackle football starting in fifth grade and so forth, so on. And that was a ton of fun. I was a lot bigger than everyone else. I'm a very gentle person, especially younger. I couldn't really pull something out of me to, like, do a big hit or, like, anything like that. And so I was a really gentle person.
The gentle giant.
Exactly. That was actually what people called me.
Yeah.
And so that was something I needed to work through a little bit, but had a lot of fun. As well as during that time, I had my growth spurt a little sooner than other people. And so I was a lot bigger, head taller than some of the guys or some of the kids.
Yeah.
But still had a lot of fun playing it.
Yeah.
And so that went through all the way up high school. I had played every year, other sports, played basketball for my 8th, 9th, and 10th grade year. In 10th grade, or in my junior season of football, I ended up hurting both my shoulders pretty badly. And so then that I made the decision not to do football or not to do basketball, which maybe was a good decision, maybe not. I really missed the competitive side of basketball. It was really fun too. Not that that's where I wanted to be post high school. I didn't want to play basketball, but I just liked playing it. But that was those were the only two sports. I was thinking about getting into lacrosse, but I'm like, I want to get big for football, and so I decided not to do lacrosse.
So are you still a gentle giant, or how did C.J. Warren get mean? Let's ask that.
Oh, geez. It was hard. Yeah. It was not an easy thing for me to switch from hitting someone, like, super gently, trying to bring him down softly. That's a weird thing to say when it comes to football.
Right.
And so definitely I would say my junior and senior year of high school, I started to kind of get rid of that. But still, I still kind of roll people over and start running through people. And even to this day, I feel like in my game, I still see that.
Yeah.
But now it's easier for me with the love of sport. Everyone plays football for the love of football, hopefully.
Right.
And so everyone wants the other person to go as hard as they can. And so it would be almost, in my mind, disrespectful if I didn't go 100% for the other players on the field.
Yeah.
That's in my mind. That's how I pictured it and how I was able to cross the barrier of, like, how can I hit hard or how can I play harder? It's this, like, love and respect for the sport. And the other players, both on our team and the opposing teams. So
yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Okay, so you talk about being competitive, but being gentle. You have two brothers. Are you the oldest?
I'm the youngest.
You're the youngest, and you're still the nicest?
I'm still the nicest. my older brother, Cody, middle, Andrew, Cody is super highly competitive.
Yeah.
Probably prefers winning over losing all the time, no matter how he gets there.
Right.
Now he's growing into a different man himself, but super, super, super competitive. And Andrew was not competitive, but they fought a lot. One thing I loved through our childhood is they would both start fighting, and then eventually they came to me because I would be there. I would just be listening, wouldn't really be pitching anything in, sitting it out.
Yeah.
And then one of them would eventually, like, what do you think, CJ? Like, are you on my side? Like, whose side are you on? and so that was really fun. And they're my best friends.
Yeah.
I love my brothers. And so we laugh and joke about the times when we always fought and I would be the word that would be to decide who was right.
The arbitrator.
Exactly. Or be like, okay, you guys are fighting over something really stupid.
Yeah.
We don't need to fight about this.
But did you ever use that to your advantage? Like, I tell you what, Andrew, I've been wanting to play with this toy. You know, if you want to be right, I get some time with that toy.
You know, I don't think so, but, you know, it probably crossed my mind a few times.
Yeah. Well, you're probably a better person than me. I would have been devious like that. So mechanical engineering. What do you want to do with that?
So I graduated with my mechanical engineering, and then I got to get into a different program. But with that, by itself, I wanted to get into some sort of product development, creating something. I mean, that was the whole reason behind becoming an engineer. I wanted to create something, develop something, and kind of start my own thing.
Yeah.
And so that's where in my senior summer, I ended up getting a job or an internship with Magnetic Mechanisms.
Cool.
It's a small product development company with magnets. And so I got to have fun there, develop some things. They gave me quite a bit of freedom.
Yeah.
Along with some small chores I had to do. Not really chores, work.
Right.
and so that really made the decision for me, like, wow, this is a really fun and enjoyable kind of work field I would love to get into.
Yeah.
And so I'm still, I don't know if I'm really considered an intern anymore, but I'm still working with them through my grad program.
Nice.
And then I got into the new product tech venture program here at St. Thomas. And that's kind of developing I'm getting my master's in mechanical engineering, but getting a twist of entrepreneurship.
Right.
And so that's kind of developing, getting me the tools I need to hopefully create a product and then bring it to the business side of aspects, or how to bring it from a product to the market. was my biggest gap. I can make a product, more or less, I can make a cool thing that I like.
Right.
I didn't understand that other people need to like it too to sell it.
Yes.
And so that's really what this is diving into, is like how to understand what the customer wants, and then make it from there, and then have a good communication with the customer, and then how to bring that to market.
Right, the user experience.
Exactly, exactly.
So I remember Cade Sexauer, who was also a mechanical engineering guy, his senior project was a self-guiding lawnmower. It was like the... what do they call that vacuum? The Flobee or whatever.
Not the Flobee.
That's the haircut thing. The little bee guy, the bumping thing. But that for lawnmowers. What was your senior project?
So my senior project, I worked with Anderson Window Company.
Okay.
And so on one of their molders they have there, they wanted to input a laser system that would check the specifications. That's the quality of material going through.
Mm-hmm.
And so... at that moment, they were manually doing the testing, which took about 12 minutes, an hour off of their running time. So kind of wasting time.
Yeah.
And so they wanted to get rid of that. And as well as they were only checking about one part out of about 50 parts.
Oh, interesting. Because
the batch would go through, they'd only test one of the batches,
yeah,
or one part from the batch. And so they wanted a quality on all the parts, as well as you did the test after the batch went through. And so if something was set wrong in the fences or something that the machinist there,
mm-hmm,
if you set the fences wrong, then the whole batch would be incorrect. And
so you lost a whole batch.
You lost a whole batch.
Right.
And so the inspection would be instant, and it would tell them, like, hey, these parts are bad right now, and you should stop the machine
right,
and fix something. And so that's all it was. It was they had a little buzzer and reader, and so all the parts would go through, all the data would go into an online cloud system, and so now they have data on every single part going through, as well as if something was set wrong, that the user knew right away that it was set wrong and they should fix something. And so it was a really fun project, more on the manufacturing engineer side. And so from that, because I was choosing between product development or like the manufacturing side, and I decided that the manufacturing side, it's fun, but a lot of times you end up putting out a lot of fires. It's like, hey, this machine needs help. Let's fix it.
Right.
Or you get the opportunity to set up a new machine, like, and how it's aligned, and that would
create.
Be cool itself.
Yeah.
But from my understanding and the conversations I had with a lot of people with Anderson, it was a lot of like, how do we keep things going? Let's keep things going.
Right.
Or increase speeds, or like, how can we make things better? And that, I didn't find as much love as product development.
Sure. But. All right, so what's better? The aha moment of the creation of some idea, or third down and short, you make the stop and you turn the ball over.
Oh, geez. Two loves in my world, but I'm going to have to go with football. I think that moment is just so fun. And it's so fun, especially making the plays really fun, but it's a celebration after with the guys. And it's sometimes it's not even me doing the play sometimes, but it's just so fun having one of our guys make the play and stop it there, and we're all just celebrating, and that's why football's really fun. But so football has to take it, but short second is a good idea formating.
Those are two really great things. Speaking of great things, congratulations on getting married this winter, right?
Thank you. Yep.
In a cold barn is what Caitlin told me.
Yes.
Okay, CJ, you're a smart guy. You're a mechanical engineer. What made you think to get married in a barn in the middle of winter?
Well, it came. We wanted to not have the engagement process be very long,
right? Because you guys have known each other forever, right?
We've been together, I think at that time, 6 years. Going on 7 maybe. So we were together a very long time. We're like,
you know what?
We don't need to be engaged for 2+ years or whatever. Let's get this done. Let's get this done fast. Originally, we were actually thinking, you know, it'd be so nice to have it in the fall, and like we could maybe do it during the bye week.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad we didn't make that decision, because that would have been a horrendous decision. We would have made it work, but man, it would have been a very stressful time.
For sure.
Would have affected probably both the wedding and football and school.
Right.
So we're like, good, we made that decision, move it to December, a couple weeks after the season, so hopefully we can put out some fires with the 2 weeks we have left after the season if we need to. But that's the main reason we wanted to kind of end up going quicker. We didn't want to wait till spring, and then we ended up finding a beautiful location I'm blanking on Abella Weddings and Event Center, and they had no one in December. So we ended up being able to kind of use that to lower the prices a little bit. And so it ended up being a little cheaper.
Yep.
And so having it out of season as far as the wedding season benefited us definitely with prices. And we were able to go with things we probably wouldn't have been able to go with if we waited till April or May. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are all very good answers. All very good answers. And you're right, because Caitlin, for most people probably don't know this, but Caitlin worked on the training side of things, the athletic training side with football.
Yep.
And so, yeah, her football season is the same time as yours.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. All right. So now how's married life?
It's good. It's really enjoyable. We weren't living together beforehand. And so the aspect of coming back together all at one place, one house, was really nice.
Yeah.
And honestly, the lack of time wasted driving in between places to hang out. It was probably quite a bit of time. And so it's nice that we're in one location. We're together a lot of times. We start our day together. We end our day together.
Yeah.
And it's been a lot of fun having your best friend with you. So
yeah,
I'm enjoying the married life so far.
That's good. That is a very good answer.
Only 5 months in. That's or 6 months. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, Caitlin's going to be happy to hear that, no doubt. You like to eat. Is Caitlin a foodie as well, or do you handle most of the cooking? How's that work?
Yeah, so we're both foodies. We love to try new places around the cities, especially if we travel somewhere. We're always looking for kind of what's the best place to go in our budget.
Right.
Not breaking the bank going somewhere, but what's the best place that we can find that we both probably like, or we try something new. Try to get the, not necessarily what's the most famous, but like what's like, what do people like to go that's in this town,
right? That's special to that place.
Exactly. And so I do most of the cooking in a household, but I make decent food, enough to make us both satisfied after, at least. But I probably specialize in my breakfast. I love my breakfast. Good thing she does too. She likes to eat a good breakfast. But hopefully eventually the dream, possibly one day, I probably won't end up happening, but I'd love to have my own cafe.
Yeah.
More like in retirement phase,
right.
Would be very pleasing to me. Somewhere I would like to be, maybe like Colorado. Maybe I am open until 12.
Yeah.
And then go skiing or snowboarding. But that probably won't happen because we'll probably have grandchildren. We want to be with them over having some cafe. So.
Well, you know, grandchildren can live in Colorado too, you know.
Exactly.
So what's your favorite type of breakfast is your favorite meal?
Yep.
Do you have like a favorite, are you more of like a steak and eggs kind of guy or just a steak and potatoes? Or do you like the fancier, I don't even know any of the fancy food terms. But.
Yeah, so probably this grew on me more recently was biscuits and gravy.
Oh, yeah.
I love biscuits and gravy. And a good biscuits and gravy, it's just phenomenal. It can go really hard.
It's really good.
But probably one of the better things we make is our crepes. We got into crepe making, I don't know, a couple of years ago because we were like, we're paying a ridiculous amount to pay for these crepes at this cafe. Like,
right.
Crepes, they're so cheap to make. And so we decided to start making our own.
Yeah.
And that's been fun, making our own. But definitely biscuits gravy take the cake for me. So
yeah, and the nice thing about crepes, they're kind of like tacos, right? You can put whatever you want inside of them.
Exactly. A lot of people think it has to be strict only breakfast food, but I know you could go anywhere with them. So
all right, what's the craziest crepe that you've had?
The craziest crepe I had was a Nashville hot chicken crepe. And it was absolutely delicious.
It was fire. Pun intended.
It was fire. Exactly. So there's a lot you can do with them.
Yeah. All right. So you're a snowboarding guy as well. Where did you learn to snowboard? Here in Minnesota?
So yes, here in Minnesota. I started with skiing. Skied for a couple years in my youth. I think I started in sixth or seventh grade.
Mm-hmm.
But then ended up, my brother, Cody, picked up snowboarding instead of skiing because it was a lot cooler.
Yeah.
Probably had a different reason, but he wanted it to be different.
Yeah.
And so then I ended up switching over to snowboarding and had a little bit more. I enjoyed it a little bit more.
Yeah.
And so we don't really snowboard around here. We try to make one or two trips out west.
Yeah.
Normally get the Epic Local Pass. And so we can ski here at Afton, or we can most likely ski over at Keystone, Vail.
Yeah.
Those places out there.
So. Yeah, those are all good places. I grew up in Colorado, and so driving up to the mountains, kind of like going up north here during the summer, right?
Yes,
like just
absolutely.
Long traffic, and it takes forever. But Copper Mountain was my jam. Loved Copper Mountain.
We see it all the time, and I think it's on the Icon Pass, now. But it's one of those that we really want to try. It's an expensive sport, which is what's hard, which is why the passes make it a lot nicer.
Yes.
And so usually we stick to our passes, which is a bummer because there's so many places, so many local places that we all want to try. And so eventually we will try some of these local places. And Copper Mount, it's a local place, but it's a little bigger than some of the local places like Loveland or some of the other ones. So
And Caitlin's a snowboarder too.
Yeah, Caitlin's a snowboarder. She started snowboarding, I think, when she was three.
Oh, wow.
So she's been a snowboarder for much longer than me.
Yeah, so she knows how to rip it up.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah.
All right, so your best snowboard story, like it could be your biggest fail or your biggest success. You took on the Black Diamond, or maybe there were some moguls that you did. Like, what's the biggest, best snowboard story?
I think my favorite snowboard story would be...
All right.
Okay, so me and my brother got the opportunity to do Kirkwood. Kirkwood's a little bit farther where we are staying. It's a little bit more in the mountains. And so we going out there, it was snowing. Exactly what you want. We're going to have about 3 to 6 inches of powder, which was our first time actually getting powder, out west at least. But we ended up on the way there sliding off the road,
which was
a bummer because of some other people, some other group slid off the road, and so there was a whole fiasco. But someone was already there and ended up pulling us out really quickly, which was very delightful.
Yes.
Because we would have missed one of the best days of snowboarding we've had. But we ended up getting to the resort. It was just me and him. We were here with our family, but they didn't want to go out. And so it was just me and my brother. And we decided, we were normally like a blue square kind of group at that time.
Yeah.
And we hadn't done any backcountry, which is what we do now mostly. We decided, let's have a little fun. Let's switch things up. And I was still on skis at this point. And so we ended up doing some of their back bowls for the first time together. And we just both were like, what have we been doing? Like, why have we not been in this powder and all? I mean,
whole new world.
World. And so going to the trees, doing some, I mean, there are some fun things in there. And that just opened our world. It was our first time that there's a little ledge off the, I think it was a black hole. So Black Diamond hole. And so there was a ledge and then the slope, and it was this curved big bowl. And so it was our first time. He went off and he sent it just cause why not? And so he sent it and we probably didn't get much air, but it felt like a lot at the time. He just rolled all the way down and just flowing through the powder, and it just didn't matter. And so I came right after him, also totally wiped out, lost my skis, just rolling down. And we were like, that didn't even hurt. Like, that was just so much fun, except for the fact my lungs hurt after crawling up to get my skis.
Yes.
But that's where we grew, and we ended up spending the whole day in that area, and it was very secluded. We definitely want to make a trip back to Kirkwood, where Cody and I fell in love with powder in the backcountry. So.
Yeah. Well, the nice thing about snowboards is you get to wear normal boots. You don't have to wear those ski boots.
I know.
And climbing up a mountain in ski boots is even harder.
Exactly. Totally agree.
Yeah.
It was definitely a positive change.
Yeah. I tried snowboarding once, but it was too far. I was too good of a skier to then regress all the way back to being a snowboarder. Because then I was frustrated that I couldn't do anything.
Oh, absolutely.
But I did like having regular boots on.
Yeah, it's very nice.
Oh, man, that is the best. All right, as we wrap this up, you have one more year. When you finish this all and you look back, what do you want your legacy to be here at St. Thomas?
When I look back, and this is definitely the hardest question, but I think what we're laying down, the foundation as far as in the D-line group of striving to be the best group and being more than just gap fillers. Mm-hmm. As far as a position group legacy, that's what I'm looking for, looking to change the standard of the D-line group. And it's not just me, even though I use the I. It's all of us. And so hopefully that's the legacy I leave behind, and they keep fostering that as far as keeping the D-line group as, hey, we're more than gap fillers. We're a playmaking group.
Yeah.
And so position group-wise, that's really what I want for my legacy. But as far as overall, I would like to be known as someone who didn't care as far as what was against me. I gave it my 100% no matter what. Yes, we had some hard teams. We played our first year of Division One, but it didn't matter who the other team was. And that's definitely part of the culture at St. Thomas. It doesn't matter who we're playing against. It's all on us. And so that legacy of it's all about us in the end. How can we make us better? How can I be better against my future self almost? So
yeah,
that's kind of legacy I would want to leave or that people would want to know about.
CJ, great meeting you. Thank you so much for your time, and best of luck going forward.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you.